Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network on this Tuesday, January the 14th. Thanks for listening to AFR Live Radio here. Tim, Wesley, and Ray, and joining us in studio now is Steve Paisley Jordahl, donning the Paisley shirt.
Yep, I'm repping the Paisley today.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I've asked this question before. Is that a retro, or do people wear Paisley today commonly?
Not commonly.
Okay.
No.
It started with ties for me. Paisley ties are, I think, a little more common than shirts, but
where do you buy those? You get those online, or
sometimes online, like shopping at Men's Warehouse.
Yeah. Oh, they haven't changed that name of that company yet?
No, it's That Person's Warehouse.
Okay.
Still Men's Warehouse.
Choose Your Pronoun Warehouse?
That's right.
Huh?
It's he, him.
Oh, man. All right, what's break? You got some breaking news?
It looks like it. Yeah, here, we have this posted at our website on American Family News, AFN.net. According to officials, Hamas has accepted a draft agreement for a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip and the release of dozens of hostages. That, according to two officials involved with talks Tuesday, mediator Qatar and Israel and the Palestinian militant group, were at the closest point yet to sealing a deal that would bring them a step closer to ending the war. AP has a copy of the proposed agreement. It looks like, and I'm just reading also on Haaretz, which is one of the newspapers in Israel, that Netanyahu has accepted a deal. So it looks pretty close.
Yeah, well, Hamas is in really no position to negotiate any longer.
No.
They've been pretty well destroyed.
They're being negotiated, too.
Yeah.
This is what you're going to do.
But this is good news.
Yes.
This is good news because it means, I mean, if it holds, it means, you know, there will be no more firing back and forth between Israel and Hamas. Israel's pretty well dominated Hamas in the last few months and shut them down in Gaza, and Hezbollah is just, they're out of business. They're in Lebanon.
Paging Hezbollah.
I know. Paging. So Ray, do you take this as good news?
Hey, anything that would bring the war to an end is good news. And I kept hearing the words of Ronald Reagan, as he used to say about the Soviets, trust but verify.
Right.
Trust but verify. Do I think Israel should trust Hamas? No. They've been at war with
them. And Israel knows that. Yeah.
That's right. Well, this wouldn't have happened if somebody else beside Netanyahu had been prime minister. It just would not have come out this way. But this is all to Israel's credit. When half the world or more said stop, 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 they kept going. They kept fighting. And I think this proposed treaty means they have really won the conflict.
Well, also the fact that we're going to have a new president here in the United States. Trump is very supportive of Israel, much more so than Biden. So that's a change. The Hamas and whoever they may be friends with in the Middle East see that, you know, President Trump's about to take office and he's on the side of Israel. So he's not going to be, you know, trying to.
They know which way the wind is blowing.
Right. So
make peace now while you can.
Plus, there's nothing more, in my view, there's nothing more Hamas can do to, you know, Steve.
Yeah.
I mean, what can they do?
Well, no. Again, they're being dictated to. So the history there, as you all know, is that every time Israel has offered Hamas some concessions before the October 7th attack and the decimation of Hamas, Israel has offered them everything they wanted more, and they keep rejecting it. They kept rejecting it. Oh, no, we're not going to do it. Yasser Arafat did this.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't want a peace deal. Well, now they really don't have a choice because their head has been cut off. The head of the organization has been cut off, and they're
This is good news, if not great news, for the people of Israel and for their lives to get back to normal and for some peace and stability. I tell you what, I don't know. I know this is retrospect, Ray, but I don't know. Trying to think like Hamas on October. What day was that? October the what?
7th.
The 7th, 2023, right?
Right.
It's kind of like what they did that day. Of course, the savagery and the butchery was unspeakable. Okay. And they killed 1,100 or 1,200 people that day, which is still unbelievable to me, given the Israeli defenses and how Israel should have been prepared for this along the Gaza Strip border. But anyway, they killed all these people. That was the, if you want to look at, I guess what I'm saying, Hamas sort of rolled the dice that day that would be a game changer for them to seize back control of certain lands or what. I don't know what exactly they were hoping to accomplish that day, but whatever it was, completely and totally and utterly backfired on them because it only made Israel then go into Gaza, and they're still there, and they're going to take care of business once and for all. It's going to be the end. It won't be the end of the Hamas ideology, okay? But at least for the foreseeable future, it will be the end of Hamas's threat to Israel.
Yes.
And I don't know if so that's what I mean by, Steve, they rolled the dice, Hamas did, and they lost.
Well, so it's hard to get into the head of a terrorist.
I know.
But part of what they wanted to accomplish, they accomplished at the beginning of this thing, which was to get a world opinion on the side of the terrorists. So you saw all the in this country, the campus protest, Free Palestine.
They weren't protesting against Hamas. They were protesting against Israel, right?
Right. Well, that was Hamas's plan, and they wanted the United Nations, which has consistently been anti-Semitic. They wanted more stuff from the United Nations. They got all of that. What they probably didn't want or didn't plan on was Israel coming and systematically, taking them apart. They probably thought, since we're hiding behind our civilians and behind babies in hospitals, they wouldn't dare. Well, they dared.
Yeah, and as now we look back, it was the end of Hamas as we know it.
Yep.
So, all right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
All right. We've got a new fire that broke out today or late last night. Yeah, it's called the Otto Fire, and it's 0% contained. It's in Ventura County, which is north of where all these other fires are.
In California.
It's in California. Ventura County is right before you get to – so it's it's north or, well, we west, northwest of the current fires that we're talking about.
So there's a new fire there, you're saying?
A new fire in Ventura County called the Otto Fire.
So is it close enough to the other fires that it's possible that it's provoked from the other fires taking place, and or is it so far away that one of two things happened? Either it happened naturally or someone potentially could have started it.
The distance, I don't believe, is close enough so that, like, wind could have brought embers over there.
So then you start getting real curious. I mean, how are all these fires just popping up?
And we don't know. And here's the problem is that it's going to take a while to definitively understand. They got to put them out before they can go in and do any kind of forensics on how the fire started and all that kind of stuff. So just so you know, Wesley, I'll show you this. This is a map I've just pulled up here. The other fires that we've been talking about have been just west of Los Angeles. You have to go another maybe four miles to get to this Otto Fire. So
I see. Now. Yeah, that is a long way.
Unlikely that it was started.
No.
Okay, Steve, let me ask you this. Yeah. You showed me a video yesterday, video yesterday, which some people have seen.
I gave it to Brent to post on our website just a little bit ago. So
we did.
Up there.
Okay, good. So on our today's issue's Facebook page, we have posted the video we're about to discuss.
Yep.
So you showed me a video with satellite imagery. So describe that. Where, how did you find that? And what?
It came up on my.
It's viral, maybe by now.
I had to look for it pretty hard here this morning to find it again. So I don't think it's quite gone viral yet. There are some time. This is satellite imagery, and it's time lapse. The ones that are going viral today are time lapse of the individual fires, showing them spreading. But this one showed a global picture, a pulled back picture of the LA area, and the three fires that started this whole thing. One was I'd have to get the names of them, but
they have names for the fires,
right? And, yeah. But three of them ignited almost simultaneously, a good distance apart from each other.
That's what I saw, and that's the reason in our group text 3 or 4 days ago, I said, when you mentioned that at the time that one part of the discussion, you made the point that when the winds are that fast, then it carries and can jump, and that's true too. But what I saw was the distance between the two. It looks to me, my observation, it's impossible that winds could have carried a fire that far.
Ray, if you see a satellite image of three fires, many, many miles apart, by many, I mean at least 10, 20, 30 miles apart, and they're starting at the same time, immediately you think, well, this is on purpose.
It is coincidental.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the video right now for the first time. And by the way, friends, do go to the Today's Issues Facebook page, because it is – they're almost like a triangle. There's one there on the left and one on the right and then one down below. And they come up together, apparently simultaneously. Hard to see how – that could have happened by the winds blowing in those three places right then at that very moment.
Yeah, no, if in fact that's accurate, and we believe that it is, that satellite imagery, or we wouldn't have put it up there, and that would be either it's these fires started at the same time coincidentally, but they did have the same conditions, physical conditions, that is, right. Very dry, hasn't rained in 6 months, and you got high winds, which makes it, and they've had wildfires in the past. So they could have started, coincidentally at the same time, or it was like terrorism, arson, where somebody, they planned it this way to start the fires at the same time, knowing the conditions would be ripe for
destruction.
Destruction is spread. We don't know.
We don't. Let me give you the pros and cons of all that. Yeah. So everything you said is true. With the time lapse, it's a little hard. It looks like they're starting exactly at the same time, but it's time lapse. So it could be that we can't tell the difference between a half an hour or an hour in the time lapse. It goes by so fast. It looks identical, but it may have been. They also, I'm reading that one of the fires, it started there was a fire on New Year's Eve that was started by fireworks, and they got it out and they worked on it and got it out. They think maybe one of these is a rekindling of that, perhaps. But I have video of arsonists, copycat arsonists, that they've caught. One guy with a blowtorch, another guy setting a big tree on fire in the LA area, and they're looking for these guys. So there have been some fires, and I don't know if they've they're not the major ones. They've been put out, I think, but I have seen some fires that have been started by coincidence. Now,
what do you call somebody who there's a psychological definition for somebody who likes to watch things burn?
Pyromaniac.
Okay, pyromaniac. Got you. Those people do exist.
Oh yeah,
and they're out there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, now to the more conspiracy theory part of this. There's a guy in LA put a video out of him having a conversation with himself. It's kind of one of those devil's advocate that he answers and everything. And so I'll just put this out, because everything that he says is true, but and if you put them all together, it sounds kind of conspiratorial. But have a listen to Cut 14.
Okay, so California's on fire, but we have like the best fire department in the world, right? We should be able to contain this, right?
I mean, we did. But the mayor cut the fire department's budget last year, so not enough personnel for this one.
What? Well, I mean, we don't need everybody. We just need a certain amount to spray the area with water.
I love that you say it. It's so funny because the state actually depleted its water reserves a couple months ago, so the firefighters literally don't have enough water to fight the fires with.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense. We're in a drought, and so we depleted our water reserves? Well, at least the people that have fire insurance will be getting some money, right?
Ooh, this is awkward. Okay, don't get mad at me, but insurance companies like State Farm has not been allowing renewal of fire insurance policies since 2 months ago, and it's been canceling a lot of contracts.
So let me get this straight. 2 months before the fire, the state depleted its water reserves. Insurance companies have been canceling its fire insurance policy. It's like it's Maui all over again, but it's not like the state needs to free up a whole bunch of land to open up a new smart city infrastructure, right? Because we haven't announced anything like that, did we?
The LA district might have announced plans to set up a smart city by 2028.
A smart what?
Smart city.
Oh.
Into the future city.
Yeah, one of those where it's all self-contained. You don't need to go more than 8 miles in any direction to live your life, and they might not let you go outside that.
Let me ask you guys something about the insurance, because I don't know.
Tell you what, if mine goes up one more time.
Right? Well,
insurance.
I know, the car insurance. Well, let me just ask you this. Because I don't know the right or wrong answer on this. I have a feeling, but okay. So what this fellow just described as State Farm doing, I don't know if it was statewide or if it was, you know, just regionally there in the Los Angeles.
This, according to the LA Times, before fires burned more than 100,000 structures in Los Angeles County, insurers chose not to renew thousands of home insurance policies in Pacific Palisades, Altadena, and other fire-prone areas. The rising costs and cancellations left many fire victims without adequate means to cover the losses.
Okay, so, Ray, let me ask you this.
Right.
They have a situation where it's not as simple as, okay, Joe has a house and he dropped his insurance because it cost too much and he took the risk and I'm sorry this happened, but he rolled the dice and he's lost, so to speak. And that's unfortunate. This is a situation, just to explain to people what happened here, where people had fire insurance, homeowners insurance in these areas that Steve just named. But the companies decided not to renew. I guess, is it an annual renewal? Is that what most of them do? I guess they do. For your homeowner's insurance. Okay.
Right.
So the companies, State Farm and others, would have done an analysis and said, you know what, this is too high a risk for us to maintain. Therefore, we're not going to insure your house anymore. So that happened 2 months ago with State Farm. That's what you're saying, Steve. So what it sounds like to me is you have a lot of people, because of other companies probably have done that in the last year, especially since we've had fires for 3 or 4 years now, right, in those areas. So, yeah, albeit a lot smaller, but they cancel the insurance, you know, and so the people couldn't have, they didn't have access to it. They hadn't found another company to insure them. So they had been paying their premiums.
Right.
And then the company cut them off.
Right.
Could it be that State Farm considered the environment that the
political... Yes, but is that right? Is that moral? Right? That's my question. Is it right and moral? Is it okay for a corporation...
I think...
Let Ray answer, and then you can. To insure somebody for 20 years and then cut them off and then say, we're not paying squat. You don't have your right to a claim.
I think, I'm sure the insurance companies are saying that the policies that were followed in Los Angeles and from Sacramento created conditions in which something like this was bound to happen, and there was no way that they could not cover the cost. They simply couldn't do it. And so they made a business decision I think they felt they were backed into a corner. And they had no other choice but to say, we can't cover you. So
when the tornado hit Amory, Mississippi 2 years ago in January, or a year and a half ago, whenever it was. We had insurance. My home was damaged. We had insurance. The insurance company paid and then canceled our contract. Figuring you're now proven to be in Tornado Alley and we can't afford to insure you. Now, I did get other insurance. There was another company that was willing to insure me, but I've heard this before. You have to replace a new roof because of hail. Well, they'll pay for it, but they're not going to do it twice. It's just a math problem for these insurance companies.
I would differentiate, not to disagree with you, Steve, I would differentiate between being hit by a tornado, which is like one in a 10,000, I don't know what it is, and being somewhere where wildfires happen all day, I mean every year.
I agree, but if they're going to cancel it based on something that happens once in a million, certainly if they think it's going to happen once in a dozen, they're going to cancel that too.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, the chances of getting hit by a tornado are much less in, say, Delaware or Maryland than in Tornado Alley, Texas, Oklahoma, Western Kansas.
You were going to say, Wesley?
I was going to say, and I hadn't thought through this all the way to the end, but my first reaction would be, it's the insurance prerogative to drop customers. However, if they would have dropped them as the fires are coming through, then that's a problem. But they've had 2 months to find insurance. And now the other layer to this, you're saying that it's possible that there's not another insurance company. Well, right. Then that's a problem too.
Right. And the cost of it. All right. Let me just say this, and this may be the bottom line answer. Okay. And so, this sounds like I'm not compassionate at all towards the people, and I am sympathetic, and people ought to help them. But if you choose to live in an area that has a history of a certain weather pattern that is dangerous, i.e. wildfires, and you know it never rains in Southern California, and you know the Santa Ana winds are going to come every year like they have since the Lord created the earth, you're surrounded by woodhouse after woodhouse after woodhouse. You know what? You're living in a tinderbox willfully and intentionally. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be allowed to. I'm just saying you take that risk, much like somebody does when they buy a condo on the Gulf Coast.
Right.
Hurricanes are going
to
happen.
Can I get to the woke fire chief before we end?
Yep, go for it.
I just want to play this real quick. This is the assistant fire chief who's in charge of DEI at the LA Fire Department. Cut 7.
You want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's a medical call or a fire call, that looks like you. It gives that person a little bit more ease, knowing that somebody might understand their situation better. Is she strong enough to do this? Or, you couldn't carry my husband out of a fire, which my response is, he got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of a fire.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's awful. That's
yeah. So that was a DEI, LA DEI officer saying, well, we want to make sure that the
fire chief, a recruiter,
looks
too,
like you.
Yeah.
Like,
she's trying to recruit people.
And by the way, if I have to carry you out of the fire, you're in the wrong place to begin with. It's not my fault. Just
bad.
Ridiculous.
Wow.
I can't believe they had that as an answer on a videotape.
And they aired it. I mean,
that was a promo.
Promo. Let's go look at our website and watch our DEI.
Yeah.
Say if you're where a woman can't pull you out of a fire, it's your fault. You shouldn't have been there.
That's right.
I'm shocked. I really am. I'm stunned that they let that on the video. That was
one
the DEI officer?
That was the DEI officer for the LA Fire Department.
All right, Tim, I want to thank Wesley. I want to thank Steve. I want to thank Brent Creeley, our producer, Ray Pritchard. I want to thank Ray. I want to thank Frank Turek and Chris Woodward. And we hope you have a great day, everybody.